Japanese have a yen for decades past, and we've got questions about what that might mean for our future.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. The Japanese yen just hit a 15-year high against the dollar. If you've got no idea what implications that might have for you, stay with us as we talk to an expert who does. We'll discuss that in a moment, but first, where's Wall Street? A 1-2-3 punch as the market opens. Barnes & Noble reports a larger-than-expected quarterly loss. Sales were less than sizzling at Burger King, and Medtronic is under pressure from a weaker healthcare market. All of this is weighing on Wall Street at the open. The Dow down 113 points, more than 1%. The Nasdaq has lost 1.3%. The S&P 500 has lopped off 1.25%. It's been a similar story for European stocks, while Tokyo's Nikkei hit its lowest point in 15 months. Let's explore why investors in Japan are so skittish. At the same time, the yen has hit that 15-year peak. Bill Stone joins us from PNC Wealth Management in Philadelphia. Good morning. So what's going on with the yen?
Good morning. You know what? It's really, truly a symptom of this global flight to safety. You know, it's helped some what I'll call safe havens like the Japanese yen and like U.S. Treasuries, and certainly hurt others like global stocks in general and the Japanese stock market in particular.
And the broader economic implications of that might be?
You know, I think the broader implication, particularly for Japan, is just further headwinds for Japanese exports and certainly some more headwinds for their economy. Because even when you talk about the fact that the yen has gotten strong versus the dollar has actually been a relatively strong currency. So relative to almost all the other major currencies, the yen is even stronger than that, if that makes any sense.
Okay, back to those latest earnings numbers. Does this just pile the pressure on Wall Street?
You know, I think yes. You know, second quarter earnings so far on the whole have been very good. They're kind of a lot in Wall Street's rearview mirror. But the fact is the short-term economic data we've been getting has not been helpful. In fact, I'd call it pretty poor. So these certainly, the recent earnings disappointment certainly won't help us today.
Bill Stone at PNC Wealth Management, thanks for your insights.
Thank you.
A U.S. district judge has thrown a wrench into federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. A temporary injunction could affect labs that count on hundreds of millions of dollars from the government. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live. Good morning. How does this change the funding go-ahead the Obama administration had given?
Well, good morning. When President Obama first took office, he changed the guidelines. He said that funding could go to research using stem cells from embryos that had already been destroyed. But critics say that skirted a 1996 law that bans federal funding for research that destroys human embryos. Yesterday, a district judge agreed and temporarily blocked that funding.
And what might that mean for the future of stem cell research?
Well, to find out, I called Doug Melton, who directs the Harvard Stem Cell Institute. He says the court's decision will definitely slow down the research, but won't stop it altogether.
This ruling will bring us back to a time when we have to be especially careful about how we appropriate funds from different sources and go through, frankly, a lot of red tape.
Melton says his group also gets a lot of funding from private philanthropies. This ruling doesn't affect private funding. And now the Obama administration can either appeal or rewrite its guidelines.
Marketplace's Amy Scott live in Baltimore. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
Time to check the traffic in China. Sure, maybe you're stuck in traffic right now, but it's nothing like that 10-day-old jam-up outside Beijing. You heard that right. Since August 14th, thousands of vehicles have been mostly sitting backed up for more than 60 miles. It's taken some drivers 3 days to get through it. The official explanation is road construction, but as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, it's actually about the number of cars on the road.
Back when this traffic jam started, Tiger Woods was married, Dr. Laura still had a job, and China was still behind Japan as the second largest economy in the world. Not that anyone sitting for days in their cars along China's National Expressway 110 noticed. They were too busy getting ripped off by a guerrilla economy that sprung up amidst the gridlock. According to state-run news reports, vendors are taking advantage of drivers' desperation by selling them instant noodles for four times the price. There's not much else to eat in the Beijing traffic that's backed up all the way to Inner Mongolia. Reports say the congestion could last more than a month. Shomik Mendorada is an urban transportation expert with the World Bank in Beijing. He says while this particular gridlock is impacting mostly freight trucks, the event is a symbol of how China's roads are inundated with traffic.
As the country gets richer and becomes more and more urban and more people start being able to buy and drive cars, more and more people do.
Last year, China had 72 million registered vehicles on its roads, not nearly as many as the quarter billion the U.S. has, but just this year, China surpassed the U.S. in car sales. The World Bank's Mendorada says China's cities should not prepare for this by building more highways. He says that would just cause more traffic and pollution. Instead, he says, they should invest in bringing back a hallmark of Chinese transportation that's on its way to being forgotten here, the bicycle. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, remember all those times as a kid that you had to make your own sound effects for your prized collection of Hot Wheels cars? Well, now you've grown up, and you still have to make your own engine sounds if you drive one of those super quiet hybrids. Until now, that is. Toyota announced today it's going to start selling, first in Japan, what it calls an approaching vehicle audible system for its Prius, so pedestrians don't get caught unawares. And what kind of sound will it make?
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, 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 zoom.
Oh, no, that's another car maker. Toyota says its new device will automatically emit the synthesized sound of an electric motor. Of course, you could just try using a device that comes standard and emits an electronically created beep, beep. We always invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.